What's going on? What are you still working on? Tanya Donaskigo, then on Zewa Dahusa Dache, Ungahuan Hadi Wanodas, Nene Aboriginal Voices, Oscar Dewa Nyawar Oscar, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
And it is 7 o'clock, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. Douglas.
Yes.
Rachel, continuation of the show, Aboriginal Voices.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, Rachel, because 1 hour has gone by so quickly, and here we're coming into the second hour of Aboriginal Voices. And I just want to remind people to contact us at Aboriginal Voices, all lowercase letters, all one word, Aboriginal Voices at CFRC.ca. And then, you know, you get to talk to any one of us.
Yeah. And probably you, though, right?
Oh, okay.
Can I mention also, Douglas?
Yes.
Cottagers and Indians is going to, it's like a little, it's a play.
Yes, yeah.
And it's going to be at Dianandaga on like next week.
Oh, next week.
I think so.
So where is it playing?
At the community center.
On the weekend, or is it all week?
No, no, it's going to be all week.
Really?
Let's see, Tuesday night? No, no.
Oh, good.
Wednesday through Saturday.
Oh.
Next week. And then the following week, Wednesday through Saturday again.
Oh, nice.
What are the dates, you ask?
Yes.
I don't.
It'll be June 10th?
Yeah, through like
the 9th is next Tuesday.
Through the 13th or something like that.
Okay.
And then like the 20th through the, I don't know, 22nd or something. Let me look at my calendar. Anyways, you can contact, well, just look for Cottagers and Indians, Dianandaga, and you should be able to find tickets that way if you are the sort to want to go out and see a show.
It's a play that was written by Drew Hayden Taylor.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Well, but sometimes he's got a sense of humor that he puts into his plays, but it depends on how the director pulls into it, right?
Yeah.
The characters who are going to be played on stage are from Dianandaga, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it in Mohawk?
No.
Oh, okay.
It is not in Mohawk. It's in English.
Okay.
So that's coming up next week.
There's a lot of information about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there?
Yeah.
Did you look it up?
I did, yeah.
No way. Good for you.
Wow.
It's
See what happens when you give out information?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So it's 10th through the 13th and the 17th through the 20th. Is that what you got? Seven?
Yeah.
Seven
the
until they're
Nega
done.
Mohawk Community Center, 1307 York Road. You can get tickets here if you check it out online.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And also, on the Saturday, the 20th, it is going to be at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, not 7. Don't know why.
Oh, but okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of doors open at 5, so you can really just sit and chill, chat, socialize.
That's weird.
Maybe they'll have snacks. It is.
Wait a sec. You said Saturday at 3 p.m. and the doors open at 5?
No, for all the other shows, plays at 7. Yeah.
Thanks, Doug. That's the first thing he heard.
Yeah, well, again, you got to make sure that you know everyone's on the same page, right?
Douglas Contradiction Farquhar over here.
I was making tea. Relax.
And I'm told that there will be an artist's market in the basement.
Oh, that's
Are you
cool.
contributing to it?
No. No,
and
but
prices,
that's untold.
Prices are from 20 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But those are tables, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Well, because then you're going to be part. If you sit at a table close by, you'll be part of the cottagers.
Uh-huh.
Nope.
No. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's being set up that way.
So that means that I don't mind sitting anywhere then.
Yeah.
Like, I would not want to be in the front row.
Well, you don't have to be. Although the tickets, the other ones are not on the at the front row. I think they're VIP or something. Mm. They look like they're at the back or on a balcony. I'm not sure the layout of this.
Not a balcony.
Not a balcony. Okay.
I was going to ask, did they renovate the community center?
They did. Long time ago.
Long time ago. I have two songs set up, and then we're going to have a special interview with Cynthia. And she's going to tell us about getting involved with, well, we had a presentation here about the Red Dress Project and the recommendations. And so Cynthia called the station, passed the information to us, and I had the great pleasure of sitting down with her at the public library in Sydenham.
Cool.
Yeah, and it was a busy place that day, but I only recall seeing a few people, but the librarian told me afterwards that it was very busy for her, and she didn't expect it to be that busy while we were doing our interview. But anyway, okay, so Izque, Soldier, and then Izque with Tom Wilson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Blue Moon. What is it? Blue Moon Drive. Okay, you all set?
Oh, Every stranger has a home, like a ghost and passing crumb. Ran once but I ran too slow, right back the suitcase goes.
CFRC 101.9 FM is so thrilled to announce the launch of our brand new accessible website at cfrc.ca. Get your local news, stream your favorite shows, and stay up to date with upcoming events. You can share news tips, book a recording studio, request a PSA for airplay, and oh so much more. CFRC.ca was made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada and our amazing funding drive donors. Thank you so much.
PFLAG Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Every day, PFLAG Canada volunteers are contacted by frightened kids and by angry, fearful, or ashamed parents. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.
Every day, you hear something new on CFRC. Can you keep up? You need a weekly recap. Catch up with What's Climbing Friday mornings at 10. The charts on CFRC.
Your library, your story. At the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, books are just the beginning. A library card starts a lifelong adventure, connecting you to everything you need to inspire learning, creativity, and fun. With 16 locations and plenty of online services, using your library has never been easier.
study in a quiet space, meet friends and learn new things, or explore the world through a magazine or a museum pass. Become a part of our story. Visit your local library branch or find us online at kfpl.ca.
Well, I'm sitting at the Sydenham Public Library with Cynthia. And Cynthia, I'm really glad that you called and said you're a listener to Aboriginal Voices. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about being a listener?
Well, I guess I just came across it. I like to listen to things other than news. I like to listen to things that I'm going to learn something. We do listen to languages a fair bit. Watch movies in languages we don't know. Mm-hmm. But this was just a really fun time, I found, for when Peter and I have dinner on a Tuesday night. That's become a habit of ours that we listen to Aboriginal Voices.
That's exciting to hear. So a little bit frightening for us at the station who actually do the talking with mics and so on. At least you and I are here in the library talking and doing a quiet interview.
That's true.
So, you know, are you listening to the music or the stories or the themes?
Everything. Last night was a bit of a surprise because it was different. There were other people speaking. Was it a record, interviews that...
Last night?
Yes.
That was Robin Wall Kimmerer. Mm-hmm. Talking, she did a presentation, and very, very knowledgeable person. And, a biologist, a teacher, a land-based learning concept, and place-based learning. You might have heard of that too. I've always really enjoyed that. When I got a chance to meet Robin here at Queen's, mm-hmm. she did a talk for Faculty of Education. And that part of what we had there last night was similar to what she talks to potential teachers.
That sounds really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it just opens up another world for them to explore.
It certainly does.
Yes.
And since we're sitting in a library, mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of shout out all the good things that libraries can do for us. The Sydenham Library has a book, I believe, by Robin Wall Kimmerer called Braiding Sweetgrass. And it is a fabulous book to read, but I would suggest not reading it from beginning to end, but take time to go through one section at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating how she looks at the world and gets us to think about it.
From the sweetgrass.
Well,
in a way.
The concept of what happens when you sit and you braid sweetgrass.
Yeah.
But then there's the patience waiting to get it at the right time. So mm-hmm. you have to watch for it. And then there's the sense of smell. You know, so when's the best time to actually smell the sweetgrass?
Mm-hmm.
In the field, along the stream, or when you braid it together and let it dry, and then add a bit of dampness to it, you'll see the different smells from it. That's part of it.
So many things out of one
plant.
Plant, yes.
And add to that the colors, because, you know, grasses are green.
And then
sweetgrass has white and a little bit of... I wouldn't call it red like a red dress concept, mm. but it would be more of a burgundy red color.
Right.
At the base, and that's how you tell it. Sweetgrass from other long grasses that are growing near a stream or a swamp.
Does sweetgrass grow wild?
Yeah.
Yes.
Except the ones in my yard. We were able to get some sweetgrass plants donated to us, and the other people who gave it to me said, well, just take care of it and find a good home for it. So I found three different places, and our daughter's dog loves the sweetgrass. Goes out and chews
Eats.
The picks. Yes. Yeah, well, she tries to anyway. So, but the scent of the sweetgrass brings her right
to
yeah,
that.
So if I'm looking for it in the wild, I'll take her with me. She will find it. But you think about this, and this is what Robin Wall-Kimmerer has done for us through our projects here at Aboriginal Voices, and giving radio a voice, like the voice pass it on. And so storytelling is important, and Robin's a great storyteller.
I think radio is great. Mm-hmm. I also think books are great. You know, there's so much that you can learn from everything, really. But if you focus a little bit, mm-hmm. and don't just sort of have it as a background, but tune in and, you know, figure out what's going on. And it's exciting, I think, for me.
And now back to the U.S. You gave me a little bit of information about the radio show last night. Mm-hmm. That would be a week ago now, because this is
yes.
now June. Holy smokes.
Last week.
Yeah, and so
the 26th
of May was the show that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Music, I believe yesterday, the two new musicians to us mm-hmm. at Aboriginal Voices, which would be new to you. And do you have an opinion on the songs that you heard, or am I going to have to get them out and play them again?
No, I'm thinking of the classical music and Aboriginal music in the background. I found that very interesting, but I need to spend time with it, because I'm somewhat used to classical music. I think that came with age. When I was younger, I didn't have much, exposure, I guess, to classical music. And definitely not opera. Mm. But now, I don't know. It's like, maybe it's like a fine wine.
Mm.
It takes time to develop. And with me, certain things have taken time to develop.
We lost, Canada lost Chris Dirksen,
yes.
who was a highly accomplished songwriter, musician, and a lot of her work was getting into symphonies and working in collaboration with her background, her interests in the music, and starting in June,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be doing a highlight each week of one of her albums and what was in it. So you're going to enjoy that later tonight.
Oh, you know, we're going to be away after that in June, and I'm so thankful that you have an archive. So, you know, it's possible to go back and catch up.
That's a big shout out to the folks at the station, and our technical manager Chance, and also our program manager Jesse. They've been working on making sure that's available as
yeah.
go back and look at it. All you have to do is go to aboriginalvoices@cfrc.ca and send us an email, and then we can send information to you how to get there, or go to www.cfrc.ca and there's a section that you get the home page, and you go to listen, and when you click on listen, look for the schedule for Tuesday night 6 to 8 o'clock Aboriginal Voices, and when you click on that, it'll give you access to going back 3 months, I think it is. So,
yeah. So nice. Yeah.
The other great thing, now that I'm going to celebrate CFRC, the other great thing is that they have, so that if you're traveling, for example, you're on a ship somewhere and they give you Wi-Fi, you can actually listen live to the shows. So that's another option for people
to think
about.
We'll be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's because when I traveled and Sean had to take control of the board himself, and then I would contact him, I could hear what was being talked about at a distance, and we didn't have to call until the last minute when I could call into him and then make the connection. And he does the same for us when the other way around. So when he can't make it, because part of his work is to support people in the community by driving them to different, for whatever reason that they have to go from their community to either for health care or other reasons.
Well, that's really
good.
Yeah.
And then he can always call in.
That's right.
So the technology we have now, as we're doing right now, recording this, but it will be on Tuesday night. Yes. Now, the other thing is that you also contacted the radio station by going online to CFRC, and it was the station manager who passed the information to us at Aboriginal Voices. Mm-hmm. And when I telephoned you, you had no idea. Well, I assume you had no idea, but was it a familiar voice or not?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's scary, isn't it?
Well, no, not scary. Yeah. But I was surprised because I thought, well, this just is a general number, and mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if it was going to get to you, but it did.
Yes. So what was it that sparked you to call the station first, and then what do you have for us?
Well, I've had a really nice raw silk dress for since I was young. And I just haven't been able to toss it. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to go somewhere, and I mentioned to you, I suggested it to my daughter, but because she's an artist, she has sort of a uniform that she wears, and that may sound strange, but it's, I don't know, part of being an artist, I guess, and so a red dress just doesn't seem like it would fit into her art world. Mm-hmm. So I have kept it, and when I heard about collecting dresses for this project, I just thought, this is perfect. I think it's perfect. And if it's used by a student who doesn't have a dress to go to something, that's fine. It's a special dress, so I want someone to enjoy it.
So, as a special dress, this is your story about the dress, mm-hmm. and what someone else may receive it or use it, and then bring it back. What is it that made it special to you?
Well, I came from a working class background, and when I was young and I had gone to university and I was working at the hospital in Kingston, I was able to go to this shop that isn't in Kingston anymore, but it was on Brock Street. Mm-hmm. And it was, from my perspective, quite upscale. And I bought this red silk dress. I don't know what occasion I was going to, but I just felt that this was something I wanted to do, and I did wear it, and I hope someone else will find it special.
They'll get the joy of wearing it,
mm-hmm.
for a special occasion.
Or just, it can just be hung up, mm-hmm. as a special tribute.
Mm-hmm. And that I think that you had been listening to our rebroadcast of Jamie Blacks, who's the author from Manitoba, who started this whole project.
Yes.
With the Red Dress Project, and she has photographs online with her red dress and set in different settings around universities across Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And the more it was happening and being talked about either through radio like we're doing here for campus radio or campus journals, you know, the newspapers that they have. And I know that we also, when we first started, we ended up having a grade 9 student who did a project based on what she had heard on the radio.
Right.
Had a red dress that she had as a grade 9 student, and she then wrote a poem, stitched the poem into the dress, and hung it up in Churchill Park in Kingston. Mm-hmm. And that was her stand. And so she came up the next morning to kind of see how was it, and she found it was gone. And so that horrified her.
Yes.
But what happened was, she came to tell us on the radio, maybe people would know about it or something like that, but somebody just took it and threw it out, or somebody took it and was upset with this, or whatever it was. She had no idea, but she wanted to talk on the air about it. We did that. We let her talk. And then 4 days later, her mother called to tell us that, thank you for doing it. It made her feel much better. Wow. And by getting that word out around campus, that someone hung it up in the same spot.
The same dress.
The same dress, the story and the poem and everything. So
that's
she was pretty excited about that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And having her on the radio also spread the word.
That's right. And we're talking about missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls.
Yes.
And fortunately, I don't have to use the end of the show comments saying, asking the government of Canada to hold an inquiry into this issue. Because they eventually, the government's changed and the new government coming in the late 2010s. I think close to 2016, maybe. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look now. They had the inquiry into murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls. And it actually expanded from that to being people coming and doing the Faceless Doll Project, the moccasin, the tongues of moccasins, you know, we're doing bead work and telling stories through that, as well as the red dress. So, and it's carried on a long time. We have a number.
Yeah.
And you're just contributing to this. So, thank you.
Well, hopefully it's going to, you know, keep going until this is no longer a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we all worry about our girls.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I thank you for that. And did you want to pull it out and tell me a little bit about the...
Actually,
you had two, you said.
I do. this is the original.
Uh-huh.
This is the first red dress that I bought. And it's kind of... Well, it's silver. It says inside all these things that you don't do. And I was going to try to iron it, but I was afraid that I'd do something wrong. But it's a raw silk dress.
Mm.
And it was made in France.
There's a steamer we can use.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was made in France.
Mm.
And I think it has done well for many years. And I do hope that either it's hung up in a park,
mm-hmm.
or worn to
where people are going to see it.
Yes.
Yeah. This is great.
And this one is probably more what a girl going to a prom would prefer. Not quite as conservative. This one is not. This one I got before we went to have Christmas several years ago with our daughter in Berlin.
Thank you.
And I thought I needed something Christmassy and something, you know, a little bit out of my comfort zone. So.
It is Christmassy.
Yes. Yes, you can see that there's a difference in the tone, yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Both red.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Cynthia, I appreciate you taking the time to call and share this story, because this is important for a lot of listeners, because the whole idea of Aboriginal Voices is to celebrate what people are doing to bring forward issues around, yeah, the history, the language, and the music of Indigenous peoples across Canada.
So. On the land. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm concerned about the pipeline that's being spoken of. Mm-hmm. They have, apparently, it sounds like they haven't done any, you know, discussing about this before it was announced.
This would be the news that just came out about an LNG pipeline, or and the possibility of maybe moving into a pipeline for oil, transporting, yeah, across the country. Yeah. That will be in the news for a while, I think.
I think so.
Because people everywhere are concerned about those issues.
I think they should be.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you also, before we got started, mentioned about the train line that the government wants to put from Quebec City to Montreal to Ottawa to Toronto.
Yeah.
Yes, and it has an impact on your local community.
Very much so. They did mention that this is the southern possible route. It could be along where Rutledge Road is. Mm-hmm. You know, in that area, or it could be a little bit north of the village, which is where we are.
Mm. Or so, even further north, where Highway 7 is.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. There are problems with each one. And having a couple of scientists in my family, it's been discussed that a high-speed train doesn't do well with hills.
Right. Mm-hmm. And undulating, the ground is not static.
No,
it moves. That's. A number of geologists have talked to us about this, mm-hmm, and environmentalists who are concerned about the plants and the animals, other ecologists dealing with the waters and swamps.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And so there's a, back to what we were talking about with Robin Kimmerer talking about the issues of if people would go and read Braiding Sweetgrass, yes, with the concept behind it being, what if I take a broad idea, that's what they have for a high-speed train,
yes,
and then how do I do it so that it doesn't impact all these other creatures and the soil and the water and the land itself? So
maybe that's another idea for a program for you. And I could, you know, contribute at least one
you're
going to
be part of the Aboriginal Voices team. I love it.
I think that I have contacts in the, mm-hmm, scientific world.
Okay. Well, we always need that. People who are supporting our interviewing people or calling and talking to them or having them come, mm-hmm, in. It's harder to get people to come into the radio station because it's one little place when most of the people are a long way away. Although we do have now with telecommunications better, then we can do that.
Yes.
Or I'll go do field trip stuff.
Why not?
Yeah. when the students aren't around, then I can get the gear and go on and be part of it. Yeah, and it's always fun to be out on the land or visiting people,
yeah,
where they are. Yeah.
It's nice to have that variety.
I will put forward your idea to Sean and the rest of the Aboriginal Voices team, and I know there are a lot of people interested in this issue.
Yes. There is a group that has started. I don't know what the name of it is, but mm-hmm, it's people who are concerned on,
right,
many levels,
mm-hmm,
about the train and what...
In South Frontenac, there's Save,
yes,
South Frontenac.
Yes.
That's a group. And there's a group in Rockcliffe near Ottawa. And there's another group that is over towards Peterborough, and I'm not sure where they're based.
Well, my husband is one of the people with the, the state, South Frontenac.
Okay, good. We're not volunteering you yet.
Not yet. I wouldn't do.
You can have you can have a conversation about it, and we can certainly deal with that.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that we've been able to get the chance to talk about the issues, especially
Thank
the
you.
Red dress issue, and then about listening to Aboriginal voices, and now a new project for us that just keeps growing. Cynthia, thank you very much for being part of Aboriginal Voices. Is there anything else you want to have people think about right now as they're going into their really warm summer months?
I think taking care of the land, being mindful of it and not abusing it. There's been too much of that for too long.
Cynthia, I have a special song for you. Do a special song called New Beginnings.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Cynthia, welcome back to Aboriginal Voices.
Thank you, Doug.
Now, you called and said you had something special you wanted to tell me. What was the first thing you said when you called?
I think I told you that I had a haiku.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, okay, now what's happening here? You and I had that wonderful interview at the Sydenham Public Library. You talked about the Red Dress Project, and
yes.
And everybody's heard it now. And this is a follow-up to that whole project that you wanted to contribute more to the show. And, you know, we were all laughing a few minutes ago about how not everybody's ready to do poetry. So I wanted to know how long you've spent thinking about this idea and why you chose haiku.
I've been playing around with haiku for a while. I'm not really knowledgeable, although I use a system that has 17 syllables. It's just three lines of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that it is adaptable to just about every everyday activity. Things that you see, what you do when you're out having a walk in the forest, and it's just it's not stuffy at all. It's not very rigid like the kind of poetry I would have learned at school.
That sounds interesting, you know, and I like the idea of, you know, the thinking about how you're going to put into three lines, you know, your visit to the forest or your visit along the lakeshore.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a follow-up to your Red Dress Project. Does this one you did for today fit in with that, or is this something else that you've been working on?
It does fit in. I've been thinking a lot about our meeting and the whole project, and this just came to my mind. You know, it's when you're thinking about something, sometimes they just fall into a certain rhythm,
mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I sat down and I just wrote this. It was very quick. But I think that it's a meaningful way of looking at the Red Dress Project and the whole experience with, you know, trying to come to terms with this horrible situation and do something positive.
And you're giving meaning to the phrase that we used to ask people to share something that they have special that they could give to others, to think about the women and girls who are missing or have not been found
yes.
in Canada, but then probably around the world. So you're doing that, and it was all because you and I got to sit and chat with each other about the project. And we do have a place for one of your red dresses, and I was going to mention it just after your interview, but now we're on the phone talking, so I'll tell you now, along with all the listeners, that that the one of them is going to be hung up in the Four Directions Indigenous Student Center here at Queen's Campus, and the other one, two people have said, I know somebody who probably would enjoy wearing that dress during the graduation and their prom, and would they be allowed to use it? And I said, that's exactly what you wanted, someone to use it and then bring it
that's
back.
That's right. Yeah.
Great.
I'm honored.
So you've done something special, and now you've been driven to write these words down. Now, you said three lines. And how
yes.
many syllables?
17.
Oh.
It's five.
You're giving five. Give me a challenge here, okay?
You'll be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's five and then seven and five. So I will read it now.
Okay, what's the title?
I don't have a title.
Okay.
But it's about our sisters.
Go ahead.
our sister is gone. She will not return to us. Our hearts are broken.
And that's signed Cynthia.
Yes.
Very nice. Very nice. Something for all of us to think about. You're right. 5, 7, and 5.
Mm-hmm. I like the form. Yeah, I think that it's so attainable. The idea of sitting down and writing in the way that I was taught in school seemed very daunting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very accessible, and it's fun. And you can be very serious, or you can use it in humorous situations as well.
Right. And in this situation, our sisters, you're going to have people thinking about that.
Yes.
As they hear it again. So we should play it again, or unless you'd like to read it again, but I can play it one more time for everybody.
Okay.
And to have people think now, our sisters, and it follows your sharing of your Red Dress project.
Yes. It's really made me focus on the fact that each one of us can do something. You know, we don't have to just look at a red dress in a park and you know, think about it for 5 minutes and move on. I think we can actually each participate and hopefully make it a better world.
That's very, very sensitive. Thank you. And I'm hoping that people will listen to your last statement there. Cynthia, thank you very much for your poem, and thank you for your project ideas and the words that others might try to share what they know. So last word to you, and then I'll have a special song. I think the corn song would be really appropriate right now.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
That's funny. She knows when to bark, eh?
She does.
Yeah. Okay, but I will play Sharon Birch, the corn song. And it's a very soft, calming song.
That sounds wonderful. It's about our sisters. Our sister is gone. She will not return to us. Our hearts are broken. Thank you.
Hey and hey, yo oh, hey and hey, yo oh, shinna da kiddy la kiddy low, hey and hey, yo oh, hey and hey, yo oh, shinna da sway, shinna da sweet, shinna da ask a say and hey, young, shinna da sway, shinna da sweet, shinna da ask a say and hey, young, shinna da. Hey,
kat poka de dini e shikije naskigo kat poka de dini e ba do ishida kat poka de dini e shikije naskigo shinada kidila kidilo kidilo hey ane yo wo hey ane yo wo shinada kidila kidilo kidilo hey ane yo wo hey ane yo wo shinada Shinada, aska seya ne yanga. Shinada, gaye. Shinada, tui. Shinada, aska seya ne yanga. Shinada, kidila, kidilo, kidilo. Ahaya ne, yo wo. Ahaya ne, yo wo. Shinada, kidila, kidilo, kidilo. Ahaya ne, yo wo. Ahaya ne, yo wo. Shinada.
There's an Eskimo named